Christmas story has so many interesting elements to it. Beautiful things to think about as we come into the Christmas season. Maybe a person or an event or some aspect of the story that catches your heart or your attention. Or maybe as a child there was an element of the story that was told or kind of got into your mind and your heart as you wondered what it was like when the story took place. All of the characters and all of the events and pieces and places of the Christmas story, I believe, have something to say to us. And every year as I think about the story again and come into the Christmas season, I know what I feel, and I'm asking God, is God, what do you want to say to me this year about the Christmas story? What is it about who you are? What is it about what you want in my life this year that you would speak to me about? All of the characters and the hand of God that brought them together give us an incredible number of things to enjoy, to wonder about, to marvel at, and that I hope will bring us to that place of true worship, an acknowledgement of the wonder of God and the amazing, marvelous story that's told in the Gospels and the story of Jesus coming to the earth. Many of the details are known to us, and of course, in all of the stories and all the characters we wonder about and we fill in as we read and we think about these amazing events, we have our own idea of how it took place and portrayals on TV and movies and in churches, for that matter, of all the details that go with that kind of add for us an opportunity to imagine. God created us with imaginations, and Christmas is a great time to do that. I think the Christmas story is a great time for us to imagine, to wonder, to marvel, to think about all the different aspects and things that take place there. In the Gospels, Matthew and Luke tell us of a lot of those details, the story that we cherish, the characters, the people, Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds. And Matthew and Luke are usually where we study the Christmas story, but this morning we're going to study it from a little bit different different angle. I think an angle that's equally beautiful and important for us and has a marvel of its own. In some ways, some of the things I want to say in the next few minutes are theology. They're about what we believe about Jesus coming, and ask you to kind of enter into that part of the story a little bit. The part of the story that I want to talk about this morning is part of the story that tells us why. Why did God do what he did when he sent Jesus to the earth? What was in the mind and the heart of God when Jesus came? Why would God do such a thing as we have before us? Why would God create this amazing path of all these characters and all these events and all this story? Why would God do that? What's the reason that God had? The part of the story is told in another of the Gospels, and this Gospel gives us more of the reason why God did it and explains a little bit more the background of it. The bottom line is, God wants to be with us. He wants to be in our lives and connected to us. A holy God, an infinite God, a creative God, an all-powerful God, an all-loving God wants to be connected to your life and my life. And the Christmas story is God reaching into history and saying, I want to be connected to your life. I want to know who you are. I want you to know who I am. God wants to be with us, present in our lives. So he sent Emmanuel. We read the scripture earlier. God with us. How important it is to understand the purpose of Jesus coming is so that we would experience God within. Not God as a thought and an idea and some philosophical concept, but the reason Jesus came is that we could know him in our hearts and our spirits, and we could connect to the reality of who God is. God wanted to be present. He wanted to show himself, to interact with man. So Jesus came to be with, with us, with our lives, with our choices, with our journey, with our path. So wherever you're at on the path of life, understand that God wants to be with you in that. The incarnation, the word that's used to describe this phenomena, this beauty, this wonder, this process, this act of God entering intimately into our lives. Incarnation. He comes to dwell within our world, within our senses, within our beliefs, within our concepts of reality, within the details of our lives. He comes because he wants to connect to us. And so how did God do it? He sent Jesus, the incarnation, somehow from heaven to earth, stepping out of eternity into time. God said, I'm going to come and be with you. Somewhere way back in eternity, beginning, there's no beginning in eternity. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. Somehow this idea of the incarnation and Jesus coming is not something that God came up with in the first century. It's something that God had been planning from the very creation of man, and God's amazing foreknowledge about the future of how he would be connected to man. Somehow from heaven to earth, stepping out of eternity and into time, Jesus came. That idea of God coming into man's world from divine, from divinity, from heaven, from eternity, stepping into time and then being able to relate to man and connect to man and be a part of man's life. That's a core doctrine of the Christian church, of the Christian faith. That is a core doctrine of who, what we believe about God as Christians, is that God came to us and stepped into our world and our lives, and he cares deeply about us. He's not just there, but he cares deeply about every person and every bit and every part of our lives. That is a core doctrine. It's interesting to me that no other religion in the world has this idea, this concept of a God who comes to relate to man. He comes because he wants to connect to us. The Gospel of John is that gospel that tells that part of the story. I mentioned before Matthew and Luke give us all the details of, or give us details of the story. But John's gospel also is part of the Christmas story. But it's told from a different perspective. It's not told from the details and the people and the circumstances of Jesus' birth. More, it comes as a beautiful picture from eternity's perspective, from God's perspective of eternity. And it's a beautiful picture. Alongside Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men is John's description of why. Why does God come? John wrote so that you would believe in the person and the work of Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 31. Look at the purpose and the reason that John wrote his gospel. And then when we read the words of the Christmas story, see that. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The purpose of the Christmas story from John's perspective is that you'll believe in Jesus, that you'll see who he is, that you'll hear the claims of the truth of the gospel of Jesus, and that you'll believe and you'll have eternal life. Believing is so important. 98 times in the book of John is the word believe or believing, some form of that. Think of that. 98 times in John's gospel is the word believe. Believe is so important. And as you look into the Christmas story, whether you're looking in Matthew or Luke or John, understand the purpose is that your faith will be stronger, that you will connect and you will see and you will feel that God is with you and cares deeply about you. John gives us a look at that Christmas story from that angle, from that perspective. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. And I want to invite you as I read 14 verses this morning. John chapter 1, 14 verses. I'd like you to look for and listen for the purpose and what God wants for you in the Christmas story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in the name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning, John starts his telling of the Christmas story. In the beginning was the Word. Way back there, equal to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, John says was the Word, the truth, the power of God, the Logos of God. John declares the eternal presence and purpose of Jesus in eternity. That Jesus' presence and purpose back in Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning was an important part, an important step, an important thing to understand when you think about the Christmas story. That way back there, John declares that Jesus is eternal. Jesus is with God in the beginning, and he was God. He's not separate from God, but Jesus is a part of the plan of eternity when God created the heavens and the earth. And now, when he comes to the earth, he takes on a new form. He takes on a new role. He is with God, and he is God, he says in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. John says it like four different ways there, four different aspects of it to emphasize to you and to me of the oneness of Jesus with the eternal plan of God, that he was and is and continues to be. John is also affirming that nature of God that we understand and we call the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God, all one, but manifest in three roles or three personalities, God, Father, and Son. And we see that throughout John's book, John's writing, John's gospel. John is affirming that right here in the beginning in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Truly a mystery. I want to mention about two mysteries this morning that I see in this chapter and this understanding. One of them is this: how can God manifest himself in three personalities or three forms that we understand as the Holy Trinity? The Trinity is kind of a word important, of course, to the Christian church and understanding the wholeness and the nature of God, that somehow within the Godhead there is this connected wholeness of three forms or three expressions of who God is. And it goes all the way back to the beginning, and it carries on into the Christmas story, and then it continues in the life of Jesus, and then it continues in the early church, and then through the church day. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit was important on the day of creation. It was important in Jesus' life, and then it's important in the life of the church as well. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the beginning, Jesus is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, I think of the scripture and that concept and the understanding of who Jesus is, from everlasting to everlasting. Well, John also tells us in this, his role of the Christmas story, in his telling of the Christmas story, tells us that Jesus is the creative force at work in eternity. Remember back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In John chapter 1, we're told how, a little bit more detail about how God does that, and it's through Jesus, who is somehow the creative force behind the creation of the world. And we think of God created, but God was in three forms back there in Genesis 1, and three forms to be expressed when Jesus came to the earth. But back there it says that through him, verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So John tells us that everything that was created back there was created by the power of Jesus, somehow by the power of the Son, the power of the Word. We know a little bit about creation. We read elsewhere that the Father spoke the creation into existence. So somehow there was the role of the Father speaking. And then we're told here that through Jesus, everything was made, created. I don't know quite how to sort that mystery out. That's mystery number one, I'm saying, is how the three in one work in eternity, both in the creation and then when we come to this story of the birth of Jesus. We're told that Jesus is the creative force. We're also told that he's the giver of life, and both the word life and light in these verses. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So somehow this logos, this word, is the creative power and also the power to give life. And so Jesus, before he came and took on the flesh of a man, this Jesus, this word, this logos, had this power of life in him, this power of existence and the creativeness of life. And so when we think of Jesus, we should also think of him as creator. He gives life. In him was life. And we know from his role and his ministry that it is because of his life and death that we have life. So in that aspect, going forward into the future, into eternity, it's Jesus that holds the key of life, both in the creation and in all of eternity. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. He is the source of life. He is the source of light. Jesus is the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So light shines in the darkness. And Jesus has this ability to give truth and meaning and purpose, illumination to your life. You think of who Jesus is and why did he come? He came to give you light in your life. He came to help you to understand things that you might not understand. He came to make sense of things that might not make sense. He is an amazing, creative giver of life and source of light that we have to worship and understand. Jesus is the light of the world. He came to give light and life. Verse 14 says, as we look on in the story, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Could you just take a moment this morning and try to think about a little bit, spend a few seconds and imagine what that means. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Think about what that means. The Word, this Jesus, the Creator, the giver of life, the source of truth, the one who gives us life, all these things about him, that's the one that came to dwell among us. He's the one that came to show us who God is. When Jesus came, he came in that fullness of life. And though we don't see it, we don't know it when he's born as a baby, we know the story and we know how he's going to grow and how he's going to develop and what he's going to become and how he's going to touch and redeem and help people and then die for their sins. But at the beginning, they don't know that. All they know is a baby born in a manger because he became flesh. This is that second mystery to me. How could God do that? How could God get from eternal and infinite down to the place where he could relate to us? I mean, how can he do that? how is it that God could take on flesh and become fully God and fully man? We believe that Jesus was all of both. And how he did that. I mean, when the angel came to Mary and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And whatever that was, whatever that spiritual or physical, that exchange of DNA or chromosomes, or whatever it was that took place, somehow an infinite holy God became fully God and fully man. That is an amazing mystery. How could God do that? 14, the Word became flesh. Maybe the greatest mystery of the whole Bible. I'll just kind of say that right now. The greatest mystery of the whole Bible to me may well be the incarnation. It can be, how can God do that? Think of that. All of what you imagine about God combined with body and mind and emotions of a person. Think of who Jesus had to be. Think of what kind of being he was, that he had somehow within him the complete divine nature, and yet he also had complete humanness. Fully God. What does that mean? Something inside of Jesus that understood eternity. Something inside of Jesus that possessed the power to use if he chose to. Something inside of Jesus that gave him perfect knowledge. Something inside of Jesus that connected to the beginning and connected to the purpose that God the Father had for him. He's the one that came to become flesh, to be with us. He was the one to connect us to the Father and the Holy Spirit. As he learned, imagine as Jesus, as he learned and he grew as a human in his mind, in his knowledge, but also as that divine nature emerged in him. Those two growing together, being together to bring him to the place of his work and his teaching and then his death on the cross. He was fully God, fully man. Somehow in that mystery, the Spirit of God gave to Mary the ability to conceive. And by whatever means, God brought about this greatest story, this greatest miracle. God became flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, spoken long ago by the prophet Isaiah, this idea of the incarnation of Jesus didn't just take place in Luke. It took place all the way back in Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself, Isaiah wrote, about 700 years before, will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And then the second part of this is amazing to me. And we'll call him Emmanuel, God with us. See, the plan of God didn't just appear in Luke chapter 3, Luke chapter 2. The plan of God appeared all the way back in Isaiah. God with us, an incredible prophecy. Fulfilled in the life of Mary, with us. Out of the pages of a 700-year-old prophecy is the promise that God wants to be with you. We think about God being with you. Think about this picture, if you would. It's as if God just comes in the Christmas story, just comes right out of the Bible and says, I'm here. I want to be with you. I want to help you. I want you to know that I bring everything from the fullness of God to this world and to your life, and for you to know that I am with you. Think of how the Christmas story is God coming out of the pages, coming out of the history, coming out of the story to show how much he wants to love you and be with you.
With, an often overlooked word that holds so much meaning. It's the tipping point. The moment you add with, a bond is created. I'm with child. She's with me. Play with us. Deep down, we know that the best way to show love is not just to say it, but to be with. Which is why a virgin gave birth to a son who was named Emmanuel, which means God with us. The manger, the cross, the tomb, all to make a way for God to be with us, with you. Christmas. For a moment, stop buying, spending, shopping, and doing, and be with.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that Jesus is with us. We're thankful, God, that you cared about us and loved us so much that you sent your Son to be with. I pray that we would understand that presence and that desire even today of the Holy Spirit in our lives and listening to you and, Lord, knowing that you're with us. And, Lord, help us to worship you and to be with you as well. I pray that that idea of God being with us would help us to draw close to you, find help and find strength in this life, I pray. Thank you for the incarnation of Jesus. Thank you that he came. Thank you that he means so much to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here.